I want to just talk a little bit about God, though. So, you know what I saw in Lolly the first time I met him, 26 or whatever years ago it was? I went to the church in Bucharest, and there he was just serving all the women, just serving these women that were had tremendous needs. I'll just say that's an understatement, right? And I'm like, that's who this guy is. And I don't know, I could say so much. But so you had somebody who's willing. God brings Lolly to the U.S., and he meets a woman who is about the most willing person any of you will ever have the pleasure of meeting. That's Melinda Hurst Segedy. And God said, I need these two people together because I got big, big plans. Because I got two people willing to give whatever it takes. And I think about their family. They gave birth to a young boy who is perfect for them. Actually, you know what? They're actually perfect for him. God knew exactly what Luke was going to need. And said, I got the perfect couple, two people who love to give. And I got a special kid I want to give to somebody. I want to bless their lives richly. But I need somebody who's willing to give. And God says, I can make this happen. And then there's a little girl named Angelina who, I'll just say, a very special girl with a very, very difficult start to her life. And she needed a family. And God said, I got just the family for you, Angelina. I got the perfect people for you. Because I got two people, Angelina, that have no problem giving, and you need to be given to right now. And God said, I got the perfect people. And you look at Angelina now, and you'd never believe it, other than the fact she's got a different skin color, you'd never believe that wasn't their flesh and blood. Because they gave their flesh and blood to raise her. But the story keeps going, right? We have a very generous, giving congregation. We have a congregation that just loves to give. Just give, give, give. People have thought I'm absolutely nuts for cutting out the passing of the contribution tray during COVID. Like, are you crazy? That's like the lifeblood of the church. I'm like, no, it's not. No, it's not. Giving is the lifeblood of the church. Amen. Imitating Christ is the lifeblood of the church. And we'll see whether the church has it or not. I don't think we need plates passed to see whether, to prove that's the case. I believe it's in there. And yeah, our contribution is off, but it's astounding the continued sacrifice and the willingness to give that so many of you are just like Jesus, I'm giving no matter what. Well, our special contribution last year, we take up a collection. And we basically say, give to whatever you want to give to. And we're just going to pass it on. And there's the option of saying, I just want to give to the general fund and let the board and the elders decide where. Well, we didn't have elders at the time. So let the board decide where that money goes. And it has to go to missions, benevolence. It's got to be within the confines of our special contribution. It can't go to Jim's bonus. I don't get a bonus. And with very little prompting, God found a church who's willing to give. Individuals, you just gave. And God said, I can do something with these people. I got a guy named Lolly Segedy who loves to give. And he speaks Romanian, which is the language of Moldova. I've arranged for Moldova to be the central point for the refugees fleeing west from Ukraine. I got this perfect plan. I got the perfect guy, and I got the perfect church. And it's not just you. I know it goes way beyond you. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of people have given. But God said, I got the perfect match for the needs of that woman or that child or that family. And all God did is pair up your giving with a giver. Somebody's willing to go there and touch people. And basically, you touched people. You took care of people by the power of God. Amen. And the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want you to be encouraged, but more than anything, I want you to feel God. My sermon was going to be about, and this is the 2-minute version of it. I feel a burden as a minister, because one day I know I'm going to be accountable to God for your spiritual well-being. I'm going to be held to account for how I led and how I served and how I tried to share the Word of God with you. And the effectiveness of what I have given my life to is determined by how many of you get to heaven one day. That's it. It's not how much money we collect, not how many Moldovan, refugee centers we support. It nothing to do with any of that. It's who's going to heaven and who's not. And last week I did a sermon based on at least the quote of God in Hebrews 13:5. That's a quote from many times he's repeated that same statement in the Old Testament. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But not only that, what I was going to talk about this week is he's not only going to leave you for sake, he's going to forgive you, he's going to be merciful to you, he's going to be patient with you, he's going to love you. He's in this with you. He wants to be in this with you. And I just think, like, who wouldn't want a relationship with that kind of God? Like, with somebody who's that faithful, that merciful, that gracious, who wouldn't want that? Like, who wouldn't run to that? And yet, I am a realist. Not everybody runs to that God. And I think sometimes, and where I was going to focus this week is what we do when we sin. So many of us run from God when we sin. Like, no. You don't know God. That's not what He wants. And if you're a parent, you get that. When your kid blows it, where do you want him to run to? You, come to me. I want to. And you remember Jesus at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, he said, and he was confronting Israel on rejecting the prophets and stoning the messengers he sent. But you know what his tone was? I feel like a mother hen trying to gather her chicks under her wings. That's what I feel like. A mother hen doesn't gather her chicks under her wings because she wants to punish her chicks. She wants to protect her chicks. She wants to protect from the evil that's out in the world and the bad influences. But we feel like we sin, we got to run. No, we don't know God. Or we act like Adam and Eve, and what happened when they sinned? They went and hid. No, don't hide. There's only two suspects. This is not a real great whodunit here. That's not who God is. God doesn't want us to hide. He wants to cover it up. He doesn't want us to pretend it didn't happen or excuse it away. And some of us are like Judas when he sinned. He tried to make it right by doing all these right things and saying to the people he made the deal with to turn in Jesus, hey, I didn't mean to do that. It was a big mistake. Here's the money you gave me to bribe me to do that. Here, have it back. But what did he not do? He didn't go to Jesus. It's like, no. And that's because we just don't know God well enough. If we chose to not run from him, if we chose not to hide from him, if we chose not to try to work our way out of our own problems, but instead went to him, we'd find who God really is. I just want you to put him to the test. Put him to the test. This God that orchestrated this amazing, really amazing use of our money and so many other people's money, he wants to use you. He just wants somebody who's willing to trust him. Somebody's willing to say, I believe you are who you said you are. And so I'm going to take a chance on you. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Take a chance on God. Think about what's stopping you today from approaching the throne of grace with confidence. Why don't you have the confidence to do that? It's probably you just don't know God well enough. And so what are you going to do? Make a decision. Are you hiding for any reason? Are you holding back? Are you running? Are you trying to work your way out of your guilt? Stop it. Stop it. Run to God. Don't hide from him. Share with him like David did. Hey, I've sinned against you and you only, God. But you remember where David was? His bones were wasting away. He said he couldn't keep it in any longer. He had to confess. God, here's what I did. And this is not about sin today. It's about God. It's about not responding to your sin in a way that isn't the way God wants us to respond to sin. Jesus right now is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He has been tempted in any way that you were tempted. He's sitting right there advocating for you, wanting to help you, wanting to show you mercy, wanting to intercede before God on your behalf, you personally. Don't run. Don't hide. Don't try to work your way out of it. God will take you just as you are. We're going to go with the song that was spoken before my sermon. We're going to go with it now to close out our time together. Let's pray, and then we'll have that song, which I think is Don't Let Me Drift Too Far From the Cross or something like that, right? What is it? Oh, okay, Standing on the Promises. That works too. Really, I must have been looking at the wrong sketch. All right, let's pray here. Actually, you know what? Who wants to pray? One, two. You talked already today. One, two, three, four. Come on up. God, we want to give ourselves to you today. We want to really believe the songs we sung this morning. I think of that, the words of that one song. I'm pulling it up here. We were beggars and now we're royalty. We were prisoners, now we're running free. Actually, we don't get to go from being beggars to royalty unless we come to the King of all, to the owner of all, to the God of all. We remain prisoners, and we don't run free unless we come to the only one who can free us. Father, I pray as we pray to you that you will hear our prayers. That God, I know that we cannot pray on our own, that we all pray in the name of Jesus, because it's only through Christ that we can approach you. I know he has taken down the wall of hostility. He has removed the barrier between us and you, and I pray that as each person prays, we will come freely to you, recognizing what an awesome Father you are. Thank you for loving us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
God, we come before you, and we want to thank you for everything. And we want to thank you for your love. And we pray, God, that you help us to understand your love more. You know, the scripture says that literally it takes a divine intervention for us to even understand how wide and how deep and how long your love is, God. But I think as humans, it's very easy to miss it. It's very easy to not feel it, you know, God, because, but you are, your love is so great that you literally gave your son to die on a cross for all of our sins, every single one of us. And we pray, God, we pray that not only can we understand your love, but we can help others understand your love, God. Because there's a lot of narratives out there, God. You know, there's a lot of things that Satan and can get into our heads and question you, question your love. But like the Bible says that, it says we know God's love because of the Holy Spirit that was given to us. And I know, God, when I first became a Christian, I didn't become a Christian because of the evidence like some people have and all that. I came basically because I was studying the Bible, and then I felt, literally, physiologically, I felt your love beyond what I could even put into words. I mean, I had done a lot of drugs before then, And this took all of those and it just squashed it like it was nothing. The love that I felt and that I feel sometimes is cranking. It's so much joy and so much peace and so much comfort. And I believe part of that is I experienced it because it was kind of our honeymoon and you were kind of getting to know us, getting to know me, or I was getting to know you. But I always think back of that, Lord, because that love is amazing. And I just really pray, God, that we can experience that, that we can, you know, believe and not forget and not let Satan beat us down and not let guilt make us run away or to make us feel bad. I mean, it's super hard to be grateful for your love, God, when we feel guilty. You know, it's hard to feel loved when you feel guilty. And I believe a lot of the guilt is just useless. It's not even real. But anyway, God, thank you for your love. Please spread your love. And all this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father God, thank you so much just for this opportunity to be here at this exact moment and at this exact time. God, as I sit here with my brothers and sisters, the scripture that I think about is and asks how you determine the times and places and the exact moments, you know, of our lives and where we should live and all of those things. And I feel incredibly grateful to be in this place at this time. God, I hope that we're all encouraged that every single aspect of our lives, every single moment, it is a part of your plan for us and the great things that you want to do through us. Father, I pray that each and every one of us walks away just encouraged, because I know I certainly feel encouraged this morning just by everything that's been shared about believing into you, you know, and just the challenge, you know, because it is so easy to believe factually. Yes, I believe, but do I believe into you? Do I believe into you for every aspect of my life and every bit of your plan, God? And so I just pray, I believe that we're all here at this moment because you want to encourage us in that way and just to remind us of who you are and your power and how you orchestrate every single thing from Genesis to Revelations. God, and I just pray that we walk away encouraged, and we thank you so much. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Dear God, thank you so much for this opportunity just to, you know, just to hear the messages today. I think believing into you, I remember looking at the guy on the tightrope and thinking, you know, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I believe you can do it, but I don't want to get on your back because I don't trust that I'm going to make it across the divide. But I know that's what you want me and so many others to get to, is that, hey, get on your back. You'll get us through this and jump out, take the risk. And I know I'm not there, but I pray to get there, God. I thank you so much for what you're doing in Moldova and just with the Ukrainian refugees. And I thank you so much for, you know, just showing just the little that we can do, how you can make it so big. God, the cards, the you know, the money, the different things, God, can meet needs across the world. And I'm grateful, you know, just for the needs that are being there. I pray for all the needs that still are there and the suffering that people are going through. Thank you that I have a country to come to and a house to go back to today. And I don't have to live in a convention center and a bunk bed. And, you know, we're so blessed in so many ways. And I just pray for those who are struggling and who are dealing with that and who are without their wives and children who are fighting. And I just pray you continue to be with those families and the things that are going on there. But I just, and I pray for today that we can be encouraged today, that we know that even cards or words that we can say to somebody today in this room can mean so much. I pray for, you know, us, God, that you help us to continue to just to know that you are here. You are with us today, that you're working in every aspect. There's something today you want us to walk away with so that we can be close to you. We thank you so much for your love. We thank you so much for Jesus and all the things that he's done for us. Help us continue to be close to you and to get on your back and to trust you. Jesus, let me pray. Amen.
Father, it's hard to stand before people and pray this morning because I am struggling. I'm full of fear. There's just a lot of stuff going on in the world and in the Novak's personal life. I can just go down a list of things that I'm full of fear about. And I think everybody before me prayed and they used the word encouraged. I hope everybody's encouraged. And that doesn't mean it's a good card. It means full of courage. And Father, I pray that all of us, when we think about the world situation and our own situations and just the spiritual condition of the world, we're disciples. We're supposed to be helping people know you. And we don't even know how to know you well enough ourselves to get through the stuff that's going on. It's just a hard time we're living in. And I think about the Ukraine, and I'm not going to be able to get there. I can't do that. But I think about my grandchildren having to suffer in that way. And I think, God, please put it on our hearts to figure out what ways we can serve. If we can't get on a plane and go someplace, there are things that we can do. But really, for me personally, I just think, Father, I pray that I will trust you. You know, that thing that Matt said about the getting on his back, on the tightrope walker's back. There is no way in the world that I could do that. And yet you are asking each of us as we go through these times to get on your back, give up our vision of what our lives are supposed to look like, how if we do it right, it will all work out. We've not seen that. Things are going very chaotically, but yet you still have a plan. You always have had a plan. You have promises for us. This is no mistake that we live in this time with these things going on. And so I just pray, I think he said the song is going to be standing on the promises. I pray that we stand on your promises and we not live a life full of fear. And I think about what Jesus said. Here's how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth the way it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and lead us not into sin, into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.